Hello and welcome back to the Authentic Aretha Tribe here with me, Sadie Mills. Another day, another dollar. Well, not in this case, but here we are coming from a beautiful, beautiful sunny day in Aretha. I know we touched it last time. We need some rain, but we're quite happy with the sunshine to get a nice tan on, as are all the people that are here on holiday at the moment. For those of us that have to work, it's a bit of a shame, but still, it's nice to feel the sunshine on our face in the morning. So sending you all the listeners across the world, a little bit of sunshine for today. Now, my lovely guest today is a beautiful woman who I've known for a while, but I don't know very, very well. So I'm excited to hear her story. And she has a lot to offer you guests and people coming to the island, those with families. So let's get straight into it. And I'd love to introduce Sophie Painter.
Hi, Sadie. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here and spending some time in this dungeon. We're in the podcast studio when it's beautifully sunny outside. So thank you for coming and thank you for talking to me today. Let's get straight into it. And oh, one exciting piece of news I do want to mention, and I wasn't aware of this before Sophie arrived, so we've got a live exclusive in the studio today because Sophie has some news for people that know her.
Yes, I do. I'm 4.5 months pregnant.
So, yeah,
and not everybody knows, so this is a bit of an exclusive.
Yeah, she even just told me prior to the interview that some, not even her godmum knows. So if your godmum's listening, and you must send her this now because she'll know that she's been thought about.
Yeah, even some friends. Friends and family. I mean, I'm just telling people when I see them.
Yeah. Very exciting news. Yeah. Her third baby as well.
I've got Maya, who's nearly 9, and Noah, who's nearly 3. So this is my third and final one.
We think right now.
Yes, definitely.
So tell the listeners then, Sophie, who are you? Who is Sophie Painter?
Okay, so I live in San Juan with my fiance Tim and my 2 children. Yeah, I basically come from Shropshire, near Ludlow, Tenbury Wells. I'm the third child, the middle child, sorry. Definitely a middle child.
I'm a middle child
too. Yeah, the wild ones. So, yeah, I've got 2 brothers, Matt and Ed. And yeah, I've been in Ibiza for years, basically, so... Yeah.
On and off. Well, that brings me to my next question anyway. So when did you first step foot in Aretha? When was your first ever time here?
My first ever time was in 2006. And wow, what a holiday. Yeah. So I came with an ex.
Feel free
actually.
To say anything that you want.
Yeah, I've got many stories about that holiday. So I came with an ex of mine and a friend called Matt, who is still a good friend of mine now. And my friend Jasmine, one of my best friends, Jasmine, was celebrating her partner at that time, Phil, his 30th birthday. So we kind of, I came with Damien and Matt, but we kind of joined their crowd as well. So, and it was just, that was it. I mean, I heard a lot about Ibiza anyway from my brother, my older brother, Matt. He used to come here. And he was the one that got me into clubbing. I mean, I went to Bagley's with him when I was about 15, 16 years old.
I know, don't say that. I mean, I started my clubbing career, if you call it that. I mean, it is a career because we're still doing it. When I was like 14, 15, and my daughter is 13 now. And I'm like,
I don't even know how I got away with it. This will be news to my parents when they listen. But I was pretty young. I definitely wasn't old enough to be at Bagley's, but it was amazing. And thanks, Matt, for starting my journey. So... basically, yeah, we came to Ibiza and we went to Amnesia, then went on to Pikes. I've got a good story of us going to Manumission actually. And I think I spent a whole day in the tree there. and we were in this side room that I think Cubicle were doing a party. And I spent many, many of my years, I guess, in Cubicle in London, public life. Yeah, I was there, was definitely a regular. So that was amazing. Just
felt like home for you then, in the back room of Manumission.
I think sitting in that tree till the security found me, I just thought, I don't want to go home, this is it. And
I think many people felt that when they were in Manumission.
And going to Space as well, although didn't last long because my ex got kicked out. That's another story. but yeah, I mean, I've got lots of stories about that year. And I mean, after that, that was it for me. I knew there was part of me that just thought, what? Like, people live here and they earn money here. This is it. I want to come back.
Yeah. And did you come back subsequent
and
years?
And so
then?
What happened was it was 2010, actually. So I went back and I guess I kind of thought, oh, I need to get some work and save. And I don't know, it's a bit of a blur. I mean, those years, because I knew that I wanted to go back to Ibiza. But in 2010, I came on holiday here with one of my best friends, Emma. And yeah, I remember posting it that I'm coming to Ibiza. Who wants to come with me? At the time, I didn't know Emma really well. And my friend Jazz was like, I think Emma will come with you. And anyway, we just hit it off. And oh my goodness, we were inseparable. And yeah, love her to bits. So that was it, really. We came out here on holiday and had such a good time that we went back to London. And I was like, you know, we both said, we're going to go. Like, let's do it. Like, 2011.
So you literally went back, packed up what you needed to pack up and come straight out
actually,
then?
Actually, I went back to London. And I was actually, I know I got a job to be a body double for Jennifer Lawrence on X-Men, really randomly. So
wow.
I did that, yeah. I was a Mystique body double for quite a few months. So I did that. And then, yeah, we were kind of planning coming back for the summer of 2011.
I had a friend who was the body double for Ron Weasley in the Harry Potter films.
Oh, really? Amazing. Yeah, and that was amazing.
Crazy
job.
Days on set. You're just hanging around being used.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty cool accolade to have, that you're the body double for Jennifer Lawrence. And I can actually see a little bit of Jennifer Lawrence going on now.
I don't even know
that.
If they used any parts. There was me and another girl. The other girl was definitely a lot more flexible and could do all of these kind of moves I could. So she's probably in it a lot more, but hey ho,
you're never going to know.
I won't know.
Just say you were in it a lot.
Yeah,
so that's
exactly.
Fine.
It was a lot of fun.
So you went back. You got the Jennifer Lawrence gig.
Got that, and previous to that, I had lots of experience in events as well. So I was doing some event work, and in 2011 we came out and
for the season
with
the plan to stay,
with the plan to have lots of fun and to stay. Basically, I'll give you a bit of background. So I got into university in Manchester to be a dancer. I auditioned and I got in there, but I had a really bad epileptic fit, which meant that I damaged my spine a bit and I just wasn't ready to take that place.
Mm.
So I moved to London without knowing anyone when I was about 17. But I always kind of wondered, what if? So part of me was like, I'm going to go to Ibiza and I'm going to be a dancer. Mm. Even if I'm the oldest dancer, that was it. I'm going to tick it off my list. And so that was on my mind.
How old were you then? You say you're the oldest dancer. How old were you being when you came in 2011?
I'm 40 this year.
Right, okay.
And 2011. So there we go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't the oldest.
No.
I was definitely one of the oldest ones. So, yeah, I was in my 20s. But so anyway, we came out here, Emma and I, and I basically went for some auditions, and I remember going to the David Guetta one, and I didn't have any fake boobs, so I was like, I didn't get that. But that was fine, wasn't really my thing.
Because he has a type.
They have a type. And then I went for some more auditions, and I got the Amnesia dancing job, and then Swedish House Mafia, I was one of their girls as well. So for me, this was just insane. I was like, this is it. You know, I was kind
this
of...
This is the Ibiza
dream.
This is
so much fun. And I'm getting paid to do what, you know, I always kind of wanted to do. It was a bit of, I love events, but I also wanted to
just be a part of it.
Just to say I did that, you know, and I was
And how
enough.
Was it to be an Ibiza dancer? I mean, you know, a lot of girls probably listen to this thinking, you know, that is the dream. And certainly when I was coming here back in the day, it would have been the dream to be an Ibiza dancer. Not per se for me, because it wasn't a dream of mine, but a lot of people would have that. Is it as glamorous as it sounds? Or is it really, well, bloody hard work, I'm sure, but is it all fun and is it worth it?
No, I think like anything, there's definitely some downside. I mean, I was, you have to stay up for, you know, and dance for hours and hours. And, you know, that it can get tiring. But I mean, I was just buzzing. I was just like, this is what I want to do. So for me, I was just on this high, like, oh my gosh, this is brilliant. I mean, there were, you know, I could write a book on stories about the music industry.
And how were the other girls? Were they all nice? Because it's all very international
now.
You have Italian girls, Spanish girls.
Some of them are very young and they're all lovely, but they got themselves into some situations. And, you know, I think that was some downside to it. You know, I kind of was a bit older and I stood my ground and I stood up to some managers. No,
oh,
to
really?
Managers, actually.
Oh, really?
That I didn't feel that we were getting treated the way we should and things like that didn't go down well. I mean, my time just, I worked with some amazing people and I just loved it. I absolutely loved every minute of dancing on the stage.
Yeah. In front of thousands and thousands
of
people.
Yeah, such a buzz. But I also knew that this was not going to last. Like a career for me that, you know, it could have lasted a few more, like, you know, a few more years maybe, but I wanted to stay in Ibiza and I knew I had to find something. And I knew with all my event experience that I could potentially do that. So I got a job, Emma and I, we both got jobs at IMS, which is the International Music Summit. And I just remember thinking, this is just incredible. I love it. You know, I love all the conference. I was like, I've got to work for these people. So whilst dancing as well, I hounded Ben Turner, saying, please give me a job. Like, here's my CV. Can I take your details? And he's like, oh, you're just a dance kind of thing. I was like, no, I've got years of experience in London. And eventually he agreed to meet up with me and I sent him my CV and I thought, gosh, I'm going to get this flyering job, which is fine. That's absolutely fine. But also I wanted more. So when I met up with him, he was like, right, well, do you want to project manage MTV with me in Amnesia? And I was like, this is insane. Yes, you know, but I had to quit dancing then. That was it. It was one or the other. And for me, this was long term. And so that was my start, I guess, into the whole working in the music industry. I carried on working for Graphite Media I worked that season. And then I went back to London and worked on Bestival with him and
with Ben Turner. So he's the guy who did the Pashamag, no?
Yeah. So we worked on Pashamag together. I mean, the experience he gave me was absolutely amazing. And then obviously we were preparing for Enter, which was with Richie Horton. Again, what an incredible experience. I was able to come back to Ibiza and be the promotional manager, artist liaison, a bit of everything really for this incredible night that was just, for me, I was like, I don't know, I was just buzzing again. I was like, this is just incredible. So that happened.
So this was just summer work. So you were going back to London in winter.
I went back and then in 2012, Enter was happening. During 2012 as well, I met Gregor, who is Maya's father. So that happened. So I basically stayed then. So I met him and I decided, right, we're going to stay. And I was going to stay. So I didn't carry on really with Graphite because I didn't go back to London after that. That was it. I knew this is it. You know, I managed to get a job kind of event managing Sasha's night as well. And then working as the event manager for Viva for Steve Lawler.
You properly concreted yourself in the scene.
I was here, you know, and I was working for Steve all throughout my pregnancy with Maya as well. As you know, when you're a mum and you have, you know, Maya was born in 2014, I couldn't be in a nightclub at 4 a.m. like managing people. And I thought, this is when I want to stay here, but something needs to change. Well, I need to work, you know. I've always looked after myself. I've always had a job since I was about 12-13 years old.
Same.
From then I was like, well, what can I do? I need to pick up my daughter from nursery. I need to find something that fits with my daughter. I actually come from a bit of a background of my mum's a teacher, so I used to work with her in the nursery as well. And my mum always said, oh, you'll end up working with kids, you're so good with them. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm going to go and be a fashion person. Yeah.
Or I'm going
to run
events.
Anyway, she was right.
Big nightclubs, yeah.
Yeah, and I do love children, but she was right that,
don't you just hate it when your mums are right?
No. So I started Paint Pots Childcare.
Which is your nanny and child care agency.
So sorry, I haven't even said what I really do.
Yeah.
So I'm the founder of Paint Pots Childcare Ibiza. I also have Mind Beloved, which is a mental health and wellness, like social kind of network, which I set up because that's something I've struggled with. I'm quite open about that. And yeah, I'm the project manager and like co-founder of Stargaze, which is family and wellness music events in Ibiza. I would also like to say that I manage raising money for the children's homes every year as well. That's a massive thing that I have to talk about when I'm on here with you because I'm very passionate about charity work. So I'm going back to Paint Pots. So Paint Pots, I basically started because I wanted to be able to leave my daughter with, you know, babysitters as well who I trusted. They had first aid, criminal record check, everything. And I knew of teachers on the island. And, you know, I work in childcare. So I kind of retrained, I guess. I took it, you know, and to be able to work with children and have paint pots. And now, yeah, I have a team of about 40 girls who basically are mainly from schools on the island.
Yeah.
That I would leave my children with.
Yeah.
So that's my kind of USP, I guess. My unique selling point is that they all have to have first aid. They all have to have criminal record checks. They all have to have some type of qualification and experience. I'm really passionate about that. And yeah, my clients, I've had clients that come back for years. So yeah, that's...
So anyone coming on holiday that's got a family that needs and wants to
an
go out to a
well,
club,
you know,
or a beach club for the day without the children, then you're the girl to contact.
Yeah, and I also help organise birthday parties for them or weddings, you know, with children's areas. So yeah, that's something that is...
And that filled the void that you needed to be able to stay on the island and have your daughter.
Yeah.
And obviously now you're growing family. You've gone on to have another little boy who's three, and now you're another one is on the way.
Yeah. And so, I can do that with the company, like you said.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's perfect.
And it still ticks the event box for you as well. So actually,
definitely.
Your mum was right. It was perfect.
Yeah, children's events is more my thing now. But I mean, actually, I've got an event on Monday, and that's with Stargaze, and that's for wellness. So that's yoga and breath work, and that's at Las Dalias.
And this is for the whole family, those events, the Stargaze events.
Well, that one actually, this one on the Monday is just for adults, but... Yeah, we did one at Las Dalias for our showcase, and that was for the whole family, and that was amazing, and yeah, very successful, and we had Ravertots there, and it was, you know, we had the brand that we were using, and it's just great to be, I love being in an event, you know, managing events, so
yeah.
To do that still.
And Ravertots, touching on that, because I know you said it's a super popular concept in the UK.
Yeah.
And it's now being brought over to...
Yeah.
You did a couple of boat parties, didn't you,
last year? We did, yeah. So Stargaze is Nick Ferguson and myself. Last year, we did one on a boat. That was very fun.
Yeah, I heard.
I
heard a lot of people
that went. It was very fun. So, yeah, we'll see. We're working on things for this year. If not this year, I'm sure something will happen next year. So... Yeah,
and how nice that is, because for either people coming on holiday with their family, they don't have to opt to club or not to club, because it's for all the family.
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
Obviously a different experience than what you'd have if you went to Ritchie Horton or something like that.
It's a lot of old clubbers as well.
Yeah.
You know, like myself, you know, I'm such a clubber that, you know, I'd love to take my children somewhere safe, but to listen to music, to have fun, you know, and...
To show them from a really young age how to rave.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
So
obviously then you've cemented your life here. You're now onto your third child, which is amazing. And you live in this beautiful house up in San Juan, which is the north of the island.
How do you find
it living, obviously going from when you first came here, working in the clubs, dancing in the clubs, putting on all these big events? I can't imagine you were tucked up away in San Juan in a beautiful little country house then. How do you find the contrast now between being in the north and being in the rural side of the island to being in the south or being in the club world?
Yeah, I've lived all of, I've lived mainly, I guess, in Ibiza town area in Jesus. I don't miss that traffic. I like to be in the north. Sometimes though, driving to San Juan, I'm like, oh, it's just a little bit further. It's very north, but I do love that. I mean, I love the northern beaches. I love the space, and I love how, you know, you can drive 20 minutes and then you're suddenly in madness, you know.
Yeah, it's a much slower pace of life.
Yeah. And I think, I love it. I love it with the kids, you know, it's great. And
so where are some of your favourite beaches up in the north then, especially for
the,
to take with the kids?
I'm not sure if I actually pronounce that correctly, but that's one of them. That's just such a beautiful beach. You have to kind of park a bit away and then walk down this kind of quite steep hill. That's beautiful. There's a couple just up from Cala Characa, which are also just insane. I mean, so beautiful. I always say that, I know you'll probably ask this later on, but, you know, if you are here in Ibiza, hire a car. You know, if you're staying in San Anne, don't just stay in San Anne. Drive around the island. It's 45 minutes from one side to the other, and you can see so much, and it's so different. There's so much to offer, and... Yeah, an experience. I mean, you know, it's so different, isn't it? From the north to like yeah. south to the west to the east. I mean, it's just, yeah.
Yeah. So, there's more than the clubs and the dance
there's
floors.
There's so much more. I mean, my life in Ibiza has changed so much from, you know, when I first arrived to now. You know, I've got such a community of mums now, you know, like yourself. We're on these groups that, and it's just, it's so different, but there's so much more. I think my family, even my dad, I remember he was very shocked when he first came to Ibiza. What you hear about Ibiza, people imagine it just to be clubs. And when I say, oh, my children were born here and they've grown up here, and sometimes people look at me as if to say, yeah. oh my God, and it's so safe. Yeah. It's such a safe island. When I go back to the UK, I love it, but goodness me, I don't read or watch the news all the time, but it makes you realise how lucky we are here in the yeah. bubble, I guess. And
yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
For sure. I think there's a lot more freedom for the kids here.
Yes.
To run around the
never
beaches.
Never hear of anything
and,
that happens
you know,
with
touch
the children,
wood.
Touch wood. So yeah, it's good when people actually, you know, like family, like my dad, when he came and said, oh my goodness, it's so beautiful. I never realised. And I remember the first time flying to Ibiza, I thought, what? It's so green.
Yeah.
I just imagined, I don't know, you know, when you've never been, you imagine it being sandy and just all this yeah. looking down from the plane and just seeing people clubbing or something.
On Bora Bora Beach.
On Bora hands Bora
in,
Beach.
Hands in the air.
How wrong can you be? But it's a really beautiful island.
Yeah. It's stunning. And so obviously you're not going anywhere soon, about to have your third baby here, but and yeah. Paint Pots is just going from strength to strength. So I'll put on the end of the show notes all of your website details and your Instagram and everything yeah. that you want advertised so people can get in contact.
And also, sorry, just to interrupt quickly, also about the fundraising. If people are listening and they think, you know, oh, I'd love to help with fundraising, send money towards, you know, the children's homes in Ibiza and the Ibiza food banks that we help as well.
Yeah.
Then feel free to contact me because we do it every year at yeah. Christmas and yeah. it's a real passion of mine.
And you know, unfortunately, Ibiza is an island of wealth in many aspects, but there
yes.
is, of course,
yeah.
you know, how many orphanages are there here now in Ibiza?
Yeah, we're not allowed to. We set it up for the orphanage fund, but we're not supposed to say that because they're not all orphans. So,
no.
We now have to say the
children's homes.
But there's two. One's babies to 11 and the next is 12 to 18.
Mm. They need all the help they can get.
Yes. You know, we do something now throughout the year as well where we raise money and they go for a special day out once a month as
oh,
well.
Oh, nice.
And there's also this amazing man called Christabel and he helps with giving families food. So we also, every year when we raise this money, we don't only give it to the children's home, we give it to families in need. And I really think that we're all put on this earth to help those in need and we should all do our bit.
I do too. And have you got an open GoFundMe at the moment that's
it's
ongoing?
Not, no, we closed it actually, but we will open another one probably in October time, like close to Christmas.
Yeah.
But again, I have a WhatsApp group. So because we do something throughout the year, we're organising that now actually for the children in the children's home.
Nice.
So, I mean, I could talk about it for a long time. So
yeah.
if anybody is interested, feel free to contact me and I can
Great.
Add you
a
to
a very
all these
worthy
groups.
Course.
Yeah.
yeah. It's like in the past 2 or 3 years, we've done all the food for Ibiza drives and everything
yeah.
and given the vouchers to the children's home so they can just go and buy some clothes and do normal things that teenage kids like to do. You know, it's when you think of how much money is brought into this island every summer.
Yeah.
And for them to be overlooked is not on.
Everybody
so well
gets
done,
so
you, Sophie.
Themselves, you know, it's in like we don't mean to, but people get so kind of we've got to make money, you know. And,
yeah.
and people forget that. Hang on, we've got a roof over our head. If you're living and you've got a roof over your head at night, then you're much better
already.
Off.
And
yeah. if you've got family or a mum or dad, even it's and a lot of kids here actually don't and. You know, they struggle and it's just really important, especially to me. I'm really passionate about it. I've always, especially for children, I've always tried to help or give money for any charities.
Yeah.
So I get quite emotional about it.
I know, and so you should. And so
yeah.
you should, you know. We've all got to give our contribution in some way. So I commend you. I really do. And I'll help in any way I can. We'll put them, you know, on the show notes about that. So with your family, you're obviously up in the north, you love to go to the beaches. Are you a foodie? Is there any restaurants you want to...
Am I a foodie? Anyone in Etsy? Yeah. Yes, I should
favourite
be the
restaurants.
Size
house. Yeah. Well, you're not. She's very slim.
I should be, but I love my food so much. Yes, I love all the restaurants. I would say go to lots of local Spanish, especially if you're visiting, lots of Spanish restaurants, local ones. But try all the menú del días. There's so many amazing menú del días.
And such good value.
And such good value. And also, you know, the Six Senses now, if you want to go from, you know, if you want to have a really special day out, go there and try their all-you-can-eat brunch, because that's really great as well.
Oh, I haven't tried that.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
So you haven't got one favourite then? If you were to...
Ayana.
Go out.
Well, as a treat, I love Ayana because I love the food and I love the view.
Yeah, it's a Calanova beach.
That's Calanova beach.
Anyone doesn't know.
But, you know, I have lots of places that I like. There's not one that, you know... La Bodega's always a goodie, isn't it?
People in
Ibiza Town, or the Talamanca one. I mean, Soul Good as well. That's great.
Nilblau Beach.
Yeah, I think I'm going to celebrate my 40th there, actually.
Lovely.
It's a bit more of a sober one now, but that's a great place. Oh, there's so many hidden gems.
And what about
island.
With children then? Obviously, you being fully enveloped in the children's world here in Ibiza, especially if people are coming on holiday, what's your hints and tips of things to do with kids on the island?
Well, I mean, Bambuku is definitely one that has been mentioned before. For me, we love to go to the farm. So Camason is another
it's
one.
It's beautiful there.
It's really beautiful. And
you can go and feed the animals,
feed
can't
the animals.
You?
Also, another thing I did with the children, we went to Benaras and we got the little boats and you can just sail them yourself. Not sail, drive them.
Yeah.
But that's a really, I mean, you can do that, you know, when they're tiny as well.
Yeah.
So that's really fun. And,
have you been to the alpaca farm?
I've been to the alpaca. That was great.
I haven't been yet.
Yeah,
I really want to go.
That was fun. And also, I mean, one of my favourite things is just to get a picnic and then go to these little coves, you know, and explore.
Collect crystals
because
you can get little crystal
rocks.
You don't need
to spend lots of money in all
these
restaurants. Just get a picnic, you know, meet some friends, or, you know, if you're here on holiday, just go to the supermarket, get a picnic and just drive and go and,
explore, exactly.
And explore, yeah.
Lots of beaches and coves to find. And, you know, even living here all these years, I still find places I've not been to.
Yeah,
because there's so many places to go. And I love that. I love finding new roads even that I've not been down before. Like, oh, I've not been down here before.
We're always exploring, aren't we?
Yeah, totally. We are explorers, Sophie.
Yeah,
that's what we like to do.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, so I don't really even want to say about the negatives of the island, but what's one thing that really gets you going then? What's one thing? Because Ibiza can't all be sunshine.
Oh, goodness me. No, I mean, do you know what? More recently, I've just, because we've been on the island for a long time, so you can, I'm sure you'll agree with me, just the house prices here.
Yeah.
For me, I remember you said on a previous podcast that you're still searching for your forever home, I guess.
Yeah.
And the same with us. You know, we'd love to buy here.
And your partner is in real estate as
But I would like to say, it's not really the agent's fault. And it's not the owner's. It's just the demand. If people are going to pay these ridiculous prices...
Sure, that's it.
That's their jobs. They're going to do it.
Of course
I mean,
they are.
For me, you know, it's just gone... It's got to burst at some point, but I don't think it will because it's Ibiza. But people who just, you know, we've got normal jobs. We're here and we're surviving and we just would like to invest in a property. But, you know, how is this going to carry on? I'm not sure. So that's my pet peeve mainly about Ibiza. It's just, you know, and people say the VIP culture doesn't help. Sometimes it helps with bringing money in for us, I guess, in some ways. Like I have clients who come in that it might help. So I don't want to be negative about that. But also sometimes when you see the local Spanish restaurants getting closed down to then be developed into this VIP. And it's a shame.
That's why we've got to look after the ones that are remaining.
Yeah, exactly. That's fine.
And then so leading on to the last question, and this seems to have gone really quickly. I could talk to you all day, but... What's one piece of advice then for anyone either coming on holiday or wanting to move here would you give? Or you can split it and do two.
Well, I did touch on this before about getting a car.
Yeah.
Because for me, hiring a car, number one, I don't think anyone realises the taxi queues, and I need that.
Yes, well, that's a whole other issue.
Oh, my goodness. When I came back after Easter, the queue was, I couldn't see the end of it, so people were queuing for about 2-3 hours, and people don't realise, you know. Mm. So get a car. Number one, it will save you waiting for a taxi. But number two, it will just mean that you can just drive around the island and explore it. It's so important just to not stay in one place and kind of just experience what that, you know, that area has. And all the things that I said, you know, hire the boat, go to Caledon Sarah, go to all of these little coves, go on some hikes.
Get a picnic.
I mean, boat days for me. One of my most memorable days was my 35th birthday here. I mean, I loved it. I know most people have said that on the podcast, but it's true. I mean, you know, go on the ferry, go to Formentera.
Yeah, and hire a bike. You can get a bike for 30 quid or whatever for the day and just drive around.
I think that's
beautiful.
Yeah, just explore as much as you can. Ask questions and see the islands, see every side. You know, go and see the drummers, but go to Amnesia. You know, go for that menu del dia, but also go to a yoga retreat. You know, there's so much from wellness to clubbing.
Yeah, and everything in between.
And everything in between, yeah.
Well, Sophie, listen, thank you so much. I wish you all the luck for your third birth in September. And I can't wait to hear if it's a girl or a boy. That's very exciting to keep it as a surprise. And, have a wonderful day. Take care of yourself.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for talking to us. And for you, all you lovely listeners, you enjoy your day as well. And thank you for checking in. Please rate and review. I'll keep saying it. Lots of love. Bye.